Amen. Singing well today. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're continuing on tonight with a series. We're looking at the New American Standard Version and comparing it to the King James Bible. And Bible translations is one of those subjects that if people already have heard some negative things about the King James only crowd. It's like this. You know, they're really not willing to even listen to the facts. But the fact is this. Our adversary is very deceitful, very cunning, and it's kind of like, you know, the terrorism, you know. Terrorists don't walk around in terrorist uniforms. You know, they walk around camouflaged. And the area of Bible translations, we've got to realize the evil one will do anything to deceive people. And so we've got to be aware that he could be working with so-called Bibles and doing evil. So we're looking at that topic now. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that you promised to preserve it pure for every generation. And Lord, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, that yes, he would even try to corrupt your word if he could get into it. And so, Father, I pray give us wisdom and discernment tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, 13. For such are what? False apostles. Okay, so we're dealing with people who appear to be religious, but are not really. False apostles. And what are apostles? Apostles are leaders. We have people who appear to be religious leaders who have so-called knowledge of Hebrew and Greek, they seem to be high in religious circles, but beware, there are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is what? Transformed into what? An angel of light. He doesn't always appear in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. He doesn't always appear with a black pointed hat and a black cape. He can appear as an angel of light. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if who? His ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. What are they really? The ministers of darkness, but they are transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works, and their end is not going to be good. So then, with that in mind, Satan can appear as an angel of light, and his ministers, his evil helpers of his can appear like ministers of righteousness. Let's go to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. This subject of Bible translations can get real deep and real technical, but the average person is not going to understand any of that. And I don't understand half of it. But I do know that God tells us to suffer the little children to come unto him, and to forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. So what God does, he doesn't make so high and technical that the average person can't understand. No, it's out of the mouth of babes that he brings forth wisdom. And notice this in Psalm 12, verse 6. Psalm 12, 6. The words of the Lord are what? Pure. Pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt what? Keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt what? preserve them from this generation, how long? Forever. Think about his promise in verse 7. Now, some of you are gearing up to plant gardens. And what good would it do if you were to plant a garden, have all that time of pulling weeds or hoeing or rototilling, if you have potatoes, picking potato bugs or spraying them with something to get rid of those potato bugs. What would be the good of investing all that time if you are not going to preserve the harvest? If you are not going to can it or freeze it, and then hopefully, Lord willing, the freezer stays on, you know, someone doesn't unplug it, or it doesn't go bad, you know, the motor doesn't burn up on it or lose its Freon or something. Or the jars. Now, I remember when I was a boy, my mom canned a lot of things, and after she would can them, you'd hear all those pops, all those tops popping, not the pops topping, but the tops popping. And then she would test them, you know, to make sure, each jar, to make sure it's sealed. Because I don't think you want pears with green stuff growing in there in the jar, or what else you can. You don't want it to go bad. And so you take care. So something you're going to put all that time into, you're going to make sure it is preserved. The same with the Word of God. The Word of God, we're told that over a period of like 1,600 years, God moved in amongst different men to write His Word. Now, if you're going to take 1,600 years to give something pure, 2 Timothy 3:16, if you're going to inspire something pure, then you're going to preserve it, or it was a waste of time, a total waste of time. So the Lord promises here in verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And we simply believe God's word. No matter what person may come along, you know, earlier in the 1900s, when evolution really was, there was a big push, late 1800s, early 1900s, then even amongst Christians, it seems like they were getting swayed like, oh, well, scientists say the earth is millions of years old, so somehow the Bible doesn't fit with that. And so they're kind of trying to come up with all sorts of explanations, which they didn't need to. So believe the Bible. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6, you know, there's all kinds of sciences. There's all kinds of professed sciences, but they're not all true science. And it was found out that carbon dating wasn't as accurate as they claimed it was. In fact, it could be far off. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of what? Science. Oppositions of science, what? Falsely so-called. In other words, it's not true science. The word science means knowledge. But a lot of what passes as science today is theory. Theory is not fact. Theory is someone's idea. Theories you have to prove or disprove. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. And here is the sad part, verse 21. Which some, what? Professing. Some who profess faith in Christ have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you, amen. In other words, some professing Christians got carried away that the earth was millions of years old, and when in fact it is not. It's no older than the Bible says it is. So with those thoughts in mind, that Satan will appear as a religious person if he can deceive people that way. So we've got to think about that. There's all these multitude of Bible translations, and as we've seen, they do not all agree in some very important places. Now, who is behind that? It is Satan. Well, we're down to number 14, I believe, here. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Actually, we're on number 12. We've been comparing the New American Standard was done by the Lockman Foundation. They did the first one in 1901, was the American standard. And then a little later on there, as we mentioned, the dates, then the new American standard. The latest new American standard was actually done in 1995. So if you were to go buy a new American standard translation, which I would not advise, but if you were, it's actually a 1995. But Daniel 3 and verse 25, let's compare what the New American Standard has done here. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25. He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like," what? "The Son of God." This is what the New American Standard translation says. "The appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." And gods is little g. Now, when you have gods little g, you're talking about idols. Now, sometimes in the Bible, it would refer to Old Testament leaders, like Pharaoh would think of Moses as a god, that type of a leader. But that is not a deity. That is not like God. That is the same as the word Lord. Like Sarah called Abraham Lord. Sarah did not worship her husband. Little L, Lord. That just means master. She was just acknowledging submission to him. She was not worshiping her husband. So the Bible says here in verse 25, the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And the New American Standard says the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods, little g. What's interesting is the New World Translation, the Jehovah's Witness translation, is very similar to the New American Standard. It says, "The appearance of the fourth one is resembling a son of the gods, little g." Now, because we stand unashamedly on the King James Bible, that God has preserved his word, people sometimes say, "Well, you're part of that King James cult." Listen, it's very easy to prove that these new translations agree with the cults in many places, and that's why I bring out the Jehovah's Witness translation. Yesterday, we went to a door, and a lady didn't even give me a chance to talk. She just started right on talking. And she said, "I believe in the Christian God." And then she let me know, you know, "Unlike you Jehovah's Witnesses." And I says, "We are not Jehovah's Witnesses." I says, "We're from Liberty Baptist Church." And she says, "Oh." And then, I mean, she was prime, though. She was ready. She let us have it. But then I was actually able to share with her Isaiah 43, 10, and 11. Remember those verses? About how to prove the Jehovah's Witnesses wrong, right from the verses where they get their name, you can prove that they are wrong, that they are false witnesses. So, what about this? The New American Standard translation agrees with the Jehovah's Witnesses in Daniel 3:25. They say the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Well, who was this with these men, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Can a son of the gods, little g, help us? No. Was this one in the fire helping them? Yes. Can Satan deliver people from the flames? No. In the end, Satan is going to be cast into the lake of fire and all those who follow him. And he's not going to deliver one of them. Notice with me in Psalm 115. Psalm 115. We're going to look at the context here. And can idols help us? Can a son of the gods, can an idol, can a false god help us when we're facing such a trial? No. In Psalm 115, verse 1, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God? For our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. And it goes on to talk about the Lord being our helper. So a son of the gods couldn't help Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the midst of the fire. Notice with me in Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. A son of the gods could not have helped them. You know, part of a translator's job is to look at the context as well as the language. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 1. Jeremiah 10 and verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. Let's talk about an idol. He's taken a tree and he carves it, plates it with gold, some precious metal, silver. Verse 5, they are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. You have to carry the idol wherever it goes. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. You remember when Elijah was up on Mount Carmel? With all the false prophets there, they jumped up and down on the altar and called unto Baal, the false god. He couldn't send fire to help them. Verse 8, but they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Verse 10, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting king. And verse 11, thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. And on it goes there, talking about those false gods. Let's go to another one. Well, let's go back to Daniel chapter 3. Let's read through this here for a moment. Daniel chapter 3. See what was happening in this chapter, how they got in the fire. Daniel chapter 3, Daniel 3 and verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains. And on it goes down through here. And talks about in verse 1 here, verse 2, to come to the dedication of the image. So verse 3, the princes, the governors, they all come. Verse 4, then an herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and language. Verse 5, that at what time you hear the sound of the, and then it goes through a whole long list of music. And then toward the end of the verse, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a what? Burning fiery furnace. So, verse 7, get ready. Verse 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Verse 12, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar calls them in. And he says, verse 14, is it true that you're not willing to worship my image? And he gives them another chance. Verse 15, hey, if you're ready, I'll give you another chance. When you hear the music, I'll give you another chance to bow down. Verse 15, the last part of the verse. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now I like what they answer. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They said, King, we don't have to think about this one. We already know our answer. Verse 17, if be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Well, verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar is full of fury. I mean, he's really angry. I mean, he gave them a second chance. He's mad. He's really hot. And he says, make the furnace hotter. And verse 19, the last half of the verse, he commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. You heat that thing up 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated before. I mean, you make sure these guys are dead. Verse 20, he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, have you ever had a fire that you couldn't even get close to? I mean, it was so hot, it burned you. Just, you can't even get close. That's the way this was. And so it killed the men that were carrying them, these most mighty soldiers. It killed them. They had to get close enough to make sure they were thrown into the furnace. And just by getting that close, it killed those men. It was so hot. Verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now stop and think about the context. He's saying to them earlier on here in verse 15, the last part of verse 15, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And now he sees who their God is. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of who? The Most High God. Does that fit with a son of the gods? No. Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Have you ever got your hair singed being too close to a fire? They were right in the midst. Their hair wasn't even singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Well, you know, you only have to get close to a fire to have that happen. They didn't even smell like smoke. Verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be who? The God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship what? Any god. Notice little g. Any god, any idol, except their own God. Big G. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other, what? God that can deliver after this sort than the king promoted them. Does that fit with a son of the gods? No. In thinking about that, notice with me in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. Think about the great deliverance from that fire. And then think about this chapter. Isaiah 43 and verse 1. Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through what? The fire. Thou shalt not be what? Burned. Neither shall the flame what? Kindle upon thee. For I am the who? Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy what? Savior. Who did Nebuchadnezzar? He looked in there and saw. And he saw the form of the fourth like the Son of God. You know, there was Daniel around Nebuchadnezzar, giving him godly counsel. There's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He knew full well who their God was. And it's interesting, this prophecy here points to and mentions the Savior. So Nebuchadnezzar mentions, and you can read on here. Let's read just a little bit before we leave Isaiah 43. He says in verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. And what did he do to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego after this? He promoted them. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give what? Men for thee and people for thy life. Remember those strongest, mightiest soldiers that bound them and threw them in? They died, but not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So back in Daniel 3, let's just look at it one more time and then we'll move on. Daniel chapter 3, in verse 25. You tell me which translation is accurate. The New American Standard or the King James Bible? The King James Bible says in Daniel 3:25, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurts. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Does that fit the context? Or does the New American Standard, which says, the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods? It doesn't fit. Doesn't fit the chapter at all. The King James Bible does, though, and it's a wonderful picture here for us. How the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that delivers us from the fire. It's through his precious, sinless blood that our sins are forgiven. It's the Lord Jesus Christ dying on that cross for us, delivers us from the flame. The flame is not going to have power over us. We're going to be with him in heaven someday. So, here's a very clear indication. Are we cultists for believing God has preserved his word? No. It's the New American Standard is the one that agrees with the cults in this chapter, not us. The Jehovah's Witness say is just a son of the gods. Okay, let's go to another one, John 14. Let's get out of the fire for a second. It's not real pleasant to be there. And let's go a little higher. John 14, much higher. John chapter 14. John 14, here's another change in the New American Standard. And John 14, the King James Bible, verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many," what? "Mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, what? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So no man is going to get to those mansions in heaven but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the New American Standard says this in verse 2. It says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places." Now, this morning I mentioned this, and I mentioned the word abodes. Well, that's the Jehovah's Witnesses. The New World Translation says, "In the house of my Father there are many abodes." So they changed that word from mansion. What's interesting is that the original American Standard Version in 1901 kept the word mansions. But when it was revised in the 70s, they changed it to dwelling places. Have people forgotten what mansions are? I mean, is the word mansion Old English? No. We still know what a mansion is. Oh, we know. There was no need to. And I wouldn't say it wouldn't be an update from saying mansions to dwelling places. We all have dwelling places. The homeless have dwelling places under bridges, under trees. What's to look forward to a dwelling place? Nothing particular about that. We saw this morning about the heavenly city, New Jerusalem. Let's go to Revelation 21. Now, remember this morning we saw that the heavenly city, New Jerusalem, is surrounded by a wall of jasper. It's as clear as crystal. We talked about this morning about what jewelry stores do with crystal. They shine bright spotlights on it. I mean, they really make it glow. Cut crystal glass. It's very beautiful. In Revelation 21, verse 10. Revelation 21:10. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." So jasper here is pictured as clear as crystal. Verse 12, "And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." Now, would you say a mansion would be tucked into a place that had 12 gates? Or would you just say that's an old shack, that's an old dwelling place? Now, if you build a fence around your yard, are you going to make 3 gates to the south, 3 gates to the west, 3 gates to the north, and 3 gates to the east? Well, no, you're not. Number one, gates are expensive. I mean, just compared to running the fence, you're getting more money, more time, more labor. The more gates you put, the more money you're going to get invested. If you need that many gates, we're talking about quite a spread, quite a place. And then you notice here, let's see here. Maybe that was the next spot I had. Verse 17. "And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass." Okay, now we saw this morning these gates are pearls. We talked about sizes this morning. We talked about a gate. Normally a gate is wide enough for two-way traffic. Maybe not always, but so a normal commercial door would be 3 feet. How would you like a 3-foot diameter pearl? Or a gate where you have traffic both ways, nowadays would be at least 6 feet. 2 3-foot openings, a 6-foot pearl. So beautiful pearls. Now, would you expect If this was just a dwelling place out in the hills, what kind of gates have you seen in places? I've seen people use pallets, wooden pallets, for gates. Just put them on hinges. I've seen just pieces of plywood on a long, like, screen door hinge, just flopping back and forth. What kind of gates do you see? Now, if you were, if you saw, well, you just think of this wall around the city. Just think of a wall or a fence around a piece of property. What have you seen fences made out of? Just an old place? Well, you got all kinds of things. They may use pieces of old pieces of metal. I've seen a yard enclosed by, once again, wooden pallets, just tacked together. Or sometimes pine stumps. There's a lot of pine stump fences in this area. Getting to be fewer, but all kinds of things people use. But would you expect to see a big mansion? What would you expect to see? What kind of a gate? Why, if I saw a fancy brick wall, or maybe some welded like bars. I mean, I've seen some places I consider mansions, and many times they will have a wall around the property or around the yard out of brick or welded metal. I mean, something very expensive. You wouldn't expect to see a tar paper shack behind a wall like that. Well, the heavenly city, New Jerusalem, is surrounded by a wall of jasper. It's 216 feet high, as clear as crystal. You're talking about expensive. And then, as we saw this morning in these verses right here in verse 18, the city was pure gold like in the clear glass. Would you call that just a dwelling place? We saw the size this morning. 1,379.5 miles square. It's just about the same distance from here, Grand Rapids, to Newport Richey, Florida, at least by car. ARB is shorter. A city that big and that high in the air. I would call that a mansion. I wouldn't just call that a dwelling place. I wouldn't call that an abode. I'd call that a mansion. The street to the city, as we've seen here, is of pure gold, like clear glass. So I would say the word mansion fits, very clearly fits. Let's go back to John 14. What would you call it? If you went to Grand Rapids to some of these fancy subdivisions, and you saw a place that had a jasper wall for a fence, and it was intricate cuts, just like crystal glass, and a very high wall for a fence all the way around the property. And then inside, it wasn't vinyl siding on it. It was pure gold. The building was pure gold. What would you call it? I'd call it a mansion, wouldn't you? Well, that's what the King James translators called it. In my Father's house are many mansions, not just a dwelling place or an abode. So, well, our time is up, but there are so many more. I have many, many more we can go through in the days to come, but these are just a couple examples. From fire, realizing who has the power to deliver us from that fire, to the one who has prepared a beautiful place for us. Are you looking forward to going just to an abode or a place? I've heard that some translations call an apartment. Are you looking forward to eternity spending it in an apartment life? Well, hey, an apartment is better than a tent, although there's some young people that are looking forward to going camping. But an apartment? I'm thankful for whatever dwelling the Lord gives, but that wouldn't seem much like heaven, an apartment. The Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. So we are thankful tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the perfect, pure Son of God. He came to this earth and lived a perfect life and then gave his precious sinless blood for us that we might be saved. To deliver us from that flame, just like he delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we are not looking to a son of the gods to deliver us from the fire. The King James Bible has it right. The form of the fourth is like the Son of gods. The King James Bible has it right. He is preparing a mansion for us. How can you read the book of Revelation and call that anything but a mansion? Something that huge, made out of gold, surrounded by something so beautiful. There's only one word that fits that in our language, and that's a mansion. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that you gave it pure, and then you promised to preserve it pure. And Lord, help us not to be deceived, thinking that Satan wouldn't dare tamper with your word. You already warned us he'll appear as an angel of light, and that his ministers will appear as ministers of righteousness. And yet we have seen just a tiny taste again tonight of what men who appear to be religious have done to your word. They have corrupted it. They have given a false picture. Not only a false picture of who can deliver from the fire of hell, but a false picture of what heaven is going to be like. Lord, help us to stand upon your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, if you would, please, tonight.